Hello, and welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Sheena Conroy here. Sadly, today's podcast will be the final one for this session. Many, many thanks to everyone who has given their time and effort to bring us one or more of these reflections. Also, a big thank you to all those who have been listening, wherever you may be, and we hope that you have been blessed and encouraged by them. We will be taking a break, but please keep an eye on our Facebook page and on Twitter for information as to when the podcasts will begin again. Today is the final reflection from the Gospel of John, and I'll be reading chapter 20, verses 24 to 29 from the New International Version. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This story follows Jesus' appearance to his followers on the evening of the same day that Mary and the other women had visited the tomb and discovered that Jesus had risen. They were all fearful of the Jewish leaders and so were locked together in a house. Suddenly, Jesus was among them. He spoke with them and showed them his hands and side. As we read in verse 24, Thomas was not with them that evening, and on being told that Jesus had appeared to them, he doubted and said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Perhaps Thomas's statement was exaggerated and made hastily, a rash statement, overemphasizing his point to back up his disbelief, never thinking for a moment that he might need to stand up to what he had said. I wonder if Thomas ever regretted the stance he had taken when a week later, Jesus once again appeared to his followers, including this time Thomas. As we read in verse 27, Jesus called Thomas to him and showing him his wounds, told him to stop doubting and believe. Of course, Thomas finally believed and acknowledged Jesus as my Lord and my God. As always in God's word, there are so many aspects to this story, a story of just 6 verses. There's the main point, Thomas's disbelief and how Jesus showed him what he needed to see to fully believe. Doubting Thomas, he gets called. But really, have we not all had our doubts over something at some point or another during our Christian walk? Then there's the wonderful encouragement in verse 29 when Jesus told Thomas that he had seen and believed. But how blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When I have experienced doubts, it is wonderful to recall these verses and the knowledge that those of us who have not actually seen Jesus but believe nonetheless, he has called blessed. For a few weeks now, I've felt led to these verses. I've been wondering why, when we are all promised new, unblemished bodies on reaching heaven, why is this not also true for Jesus? On Sunday at Zoom Church, we were listening to Jackie Pullinger speaking, and to my surprise and delight, she brought up this point. She said something along the lines of, out of everyone in heaven, Jesus will be the only one bearing scars. So why would this be? One reason seems to be that although the risen Jesus was physically transformed, his still visible wounds were confirmation to his followers that it was indeed truly him. So they should not doubt, but believe. His scars, as described in Scripture, of course, have meaning for us. Firstly, that Jesus knows our pain. He suffered. John Stott says, I could never myself believe in God if it were not for the cross. In the real world of pain, how could one worship a God who was immune to it? Jesus' scars not only confirm that it is truly him, but that he has truly suffered, so is able to fully understand our pain. Secondly, Jesus' scars demonstrate that he chose to suffer for us, and in that suffering displayed his profound and overwhelming love for all of us. Jesus' wounds remind us that there was a sacrifice and should be a constant reminder to us that our forgiveness and healing were bought at a very high price. Finally, as Charles Spurgeon points out, Christ wears these scars in his body in heaven as his ornaments. The wounds of Christ are his glories. They are his jewels and his precious things. Nor are these only the ornaments of Christ. They are his trophies, the trophies of his love. In heaven, we will see the Lamb who was slain sitting on the throne, and his still visible scars will be a constant reminder of the price paid for our redemption. I have such mixed feelings over Jesus' scars. I get upset thinking of the agonies he endured, but at the same time, I'm so grateful for the love that caused them to be inflicted. I pray that I will continue to view the wounds of Jesus in a new way, that his sacrificial scars are the symbols of perfect compassion, love, forgiveness, and grace. Shall we pray together? Father, I pray that you will bless all those who are listening to this reflection. I ask that you protect them and all their loved ones. Lord, help us to always remember the price paid for our salvation, and that our gratitude will prompt us into displaying your kind of compassion, love, forgiveness, and grace, so that others may be attracted to you and will discover for themselves that Jesus' wounds demonstrate the love of a wonderful personal Saviour and an amazing Father God. We ask these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.